Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the snow people that live deep in the sky. They will melt one day, and then they will die. Good morning, you fucking snow people. Good morning to the wolf. Good morning to the coyote. Good morning to the raccoon that killed the chicken. Good morning. I see you out there living your best life. Good morning to the King of England. Good morning to the Queen of France. Good morning to the dirty Danish people, condemned by the universe to be miserable and grief-stricken freaks. It is Thursday, February the 6th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. It's almost 10 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. But it's, you know, it's a snow day. 5 years ago. You remember when that snow day started? 5 years ago with the monkey herpes? 5 years ago, social distancing. 5 years ago, arrows on the grocery store floor. And yes, yes, we should remember that the president at the time was not President Biden. Whatever. It was Papa Blump. But he could not do nothing. There was nothing he could do. He was incapable. He was a pathetic child. But now he's magical because somebody took a shot at him. And he's been sheep-dipped by the deepest sheep-dipping system you can imagine. Langley LL126. Right, Mr. Jorgensen? Anywho, first topic. This is an article out of Australia, but it applies to a lot of people, and we'll talk about it after I read it. Headline, 21-year-old who scams people looking for romance on dating apps reveals tricks. This was written by Alex Turner Cohen, and it was published to news.com.au. Scammers are seen as faceless, evil people who make Aussie lives a living hell. We decide to track down a scammer, and this is why he does it. Listen to the call. A young worker is given a first-hand account of what working inside a mass scamming call center is really like. Having fled war-torn Syria for Dubai, the 21-year-old was desperate for work and was ecstatic when he landed what he thought was an advertising role. Instead, he rocked up to a bizarre office location in the middle of the Dubai desert where those inside tried to confiscate his passport. The young man, who refers to himself as Beard, said he was then held captive and forced to scam people for a living. He worked alongside hundreds of others aiming to steal money in a pig butchering romance scam in a sophisticated operation designed to part unsuspecting victims from their cash. This type of scam devastates thousands of Aussies a year. That's why news.com.au has launched a people before profit type whatever campaign calling on federal government to make it mandatory for banks to compensate scam victims, just like in the UK. In October last year, the UK introduced world-leading legislation making compensation mandatory for scam victims within 5 business days, except in cases of gross negligence. Okay. Beard has become a cog in the wheel of the insidious transnational scamming industry, estimated to have raked in $1.03 trillion US dollars globally last year, according to the Global Anti-Scam Alliance. I actually got used to it. I forgot this is not a job. This is a scam, Beard told news.com.au over a video call. Yeah, there you go. 5 years ago, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people got scammed. And we can all play pretend that it didn't happen. And I know a lot of mega heads have to do that right now. They have to live in limited hangouts about Chinese Wuhan labs and magical vaccines, all of which, as a man in my 50s, I've never been able to verify any of it. And I've lived a couple places in the last few years, to include, during the scamdemic, about a half a mile from every major emergency room in Seattle. 2020. Part of 2021. Anyways, I just got a message from somebody. No, I didn't. Here we go. And I've talked about this before. I've been angry about it. I've been rageful about it. Calling the scam industry on the planet Earth right now a $1 trillion business is a gross underestimate. It's kind of like Elon Musk Doge Commission or whatever the fuck it is. It looks more like whitewashing. It looks more like getting the evidence out of town. But if anything, it looks like smoke. And just like when they shut down Chaschopia that I have video of in July of 2020, Bo Blimp Doc, when the Antifa BLM bullshit was closed down, the Seattle police had a five block cordon on a rainy day in Seattle. A five block fucking cordon around the area. I may have seen Andy No Clue around there. I'm not really sure. He's pretty fucking obvious. Me, I don't stand out. You ever wonder what that allows? Yeah, if you think that your bullshit op, funded by NGO money coming from the CIA, FBI, deep state et al., if you think your bullshit op has a few actual victims in a couple basements someplace, then you kind of have to clear out the dead, don't you? And maybe dump them in a river, or dump them near Harbor Island. If you know, you know. If you live in Seattle, you know. Scammers. It is not a $1 trillion business. It is likely most of the business. It's like this statement I got from some idiot the other day, you know, about how it looked like most of what the government was or something was fraud, or if we removed all the fraud, we'd remove all the debt. If we removed all the fraud in the U.S. economy right now, there would be no fucking economy. There's nothing there. It is worn out. It is Swiss cheese. It is worm-eaten, rotten wood. We keep painting over it, playing pretend. We buy a new fucking bucket of paint, a new fucking can, and we play pretend. But at the end of the day, we're just painting rotten wood. That's mega. Okay? Scammers. They are everywhere. You know? But here's a couple phone numbers I recommend you call. Call Roy at 863-491-3895, or you can also reach Roy at 817-720-9732. I recommend you call Roy. Call him back soon. I also have a list of email addresses on the link page in the notes. And these email addresses are to people I would classify as scammers. Some of them pretend to be, you know, offering SEO services, which is a bullshit scam. Some of them are just outright idiots sending me PayPal bills and other types of bullshit, thinking I can be suckered, but I can't. I got seriously fucked in 2016 by a scammer. A scammer who is associated, at least on Twitter, to Elon Musk, and I think would love to ingratiate himself into the Trump mega world, that goat king fuck. And I got scammed a couple months ago by a so-called journalist, Anna Merlan, of Mother Jones. She listed me as a former ally or something of this piece of shit. No, that's not what I told her. But then again, why does it fucking matter, Anna? You're out there against disinformation. Why wouldn't you be the queen of it? You stupid fuck. You know. And I told myself I didn't want to dig into the news, but the news is garbage, folks. The good news about all the scamming is that if you get an email address, if you get a phone number, you've just been given permission to do what we all had fun doing when we were teenagers, and that's called prank phone calls. Flip the fucking script. If the GOP or the Democratic Party, if mega fucktards selling you Bibles or some shithead from some place nowhere near where you live sends you a scam, throw the scam back at them. If they send you a phone number to call, ask for Roy. Ask about the $100 that Roy owes you. Tell them you know where they live. Tell them you're coming for the money. And then keep calling back. Eventually, they cancel the number. Yeah. And by the way, if you think that that can actually have a positive impact, it can. In the last few months, I've harassed enough of these pieces of shit to shut down at least a dozen different phone numbers. And these are phone numbers where somebody's grandma or grandpa would have called. And I didn't do it because I was a hero or because I'm a good guy. I did it because I was having fun. I don't have an issue with tossing the smoke grenade in your face. If you toss it in my face, I'll toss it right back at you. But as far as 1 trillion being the estimate of global scamming, that number is at least a few orders of magnitude too fucking low. The whole thing's a fucking scam, folks. You're going to find out soon enough. Soon enough. Next topic, right, Dan? Well, we're talking about scamming, aren't we? So here's an article from Radio Iowa. This article was published on January the 29th, 2025, which means, you know, barely a week ago. It was written by Dar Danielson, and the headline reads, and again, this is RadioIowa.com. Headline reads, ice fishing season melting away with record warm temperatures. The unseasonably warm weather we're having is likely going to put an end to the ice fishing season in most of Iowa. DNR spokesman Mick Klesmerud says it hasn't been a great season up to this point either. We had a lot of places, including on the Iowa Great Lakes, like on Big Spirit Lake, where we had open water. There's a pocket of open water. It seemed like it would just never freeze over, Klesmerud says. And now that we've got these warmer temperatures and these high winds, is starting to chew up a lot of the existing ice, making some pretty tenuous situations up there. He says continued days of above freezing temperatures make more and more ice disappear. I'm going to stop here, folks. If you think it's normal to have snowstorms in Florida, or it's normal to have snowstorms in New Orleans, you're fucking crazy. But what's more important is that where it should be freezing, like the North Pole, it's been above freezing. That's weird, right? I don't care if you're not interested in the truth. That's your own business. But understand this. There is a logical problem between the New Orleans snowstorm and the North Pole being above freezing. There's a logical problem there. There's something weird going on. And this story from Iowa, there are plenty of stories from Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and, you know, the Arctic Circle. You ever hear the Arctic Circle, Siberia, the Northern Territories of Canada, a place called Scandafucking-navia? You ever hear the Arctic Circle, fucker? Those places are not really super freezy right now. They're getting rain. Okay, they're not getting snow. A $1 trillion industry, you think scamming? I would say that if we ever found out the truth about geoengineering, we would find out once again that number's too fucking low. Way too low. By orders of magnitude too low. most of the world economy at this point is one big fucking scam. But like I said, I don't know if there's time left to really find out, brothers and sisters. I think that Bo Blimp Doc might have a photo finish, which means it might have been and will have been exactly 5 fucking years. That's coming up in about a month, but, you know, 2 months. Let's say March, April. When does Trump say he's going to bring peace to the Ukrainian theater? Sometime in Easter? He's going to resettle Gaza and build hotels? Resettle with who? We'll find out, right? Does it fucking matter? And this isn't an old story. I'm kind of going off topic, but this whole thing about Trump talking about moving the Palestinians and taking their land. There's a book I'm reading right now related to Port Angeles history that covers this subject, and I'll talk more about it in a few weeks. But the bottom line is, this country started ripping off the pores about 2 seconds after the ink dried on the Constitution. We started taking land from people and giving it to other people almost fucking immediately. And so the idea that this is somehow new is the fucking mindfuck. It's the gaslight. This is per standard. Guam, Puerto Rico, Texas. Where do you think these places came from? Pals, friends, buddies? Do you think we magicked them into existence? Or do you think they came from war? And in many cases, wars that were manufactured, wars that were based on lies. Now tell me how Trump is different. In some ways, when he says things like this, he's being brutally honest, you know? He's being brutally honest. He is throwing it in your face. This is who we are, but what's more important, this is who we were engineered to be from the beginning. A crooked, half-ass empire. On its way to neo-Stalinism one day, too small to kill everybody at first, not a very big crocodile, just big enough to terrorize the poors, just big enough to terrorize indigenous peoples, just big enough to play with people's lives on a local scale. And then when it got big enough, it fucked with everybody. And then when it got bigger than that, it fucked with all the Americans who thought they were protected. They were special. Well, I hate to break it to you, but you and your grandparents and great-grandparents that let this fucking shit happen, you're not that fucking special. History is filled with empires like this one, brothers and sisters. None of them last. None of them ever last. And the bigger they are, yeah, it's a cliche, but true, the harder they fall. And the only question you should ask yourself is, could it be such a great fall that it takes down more than just the U.S. economy? It takes down more than just all the bullshit hopes and dreams they pumped into your skull. Could it be such a hard fall that it takes down civilization itself? And my friends, you know where I stand. The only thing I've done wrong in the last couple weeks is I was trying to do these mild considerations, but the stupidity is overcoming everything, and there's not enough alcohol to drink, and I can't just drink every day because of how fucking stupid the human race has become. Nor can I feel pity. Nor do I feel arrogant. Nor do I believe I am separate. You think we're gonna hang separately? Brothers and sisters, we're all gonna fucking hang together, okay? Don't worry about that. Oh, but Dan, I'm an off-grid farmer in Ohio. But Dan, I live deep up in Alaska. But Dan, I live on an island far, far away from everything. Dan, I live in a cave. Dan, I live on the moon. Dan. Yeah, it's coming soon, buddy. It's coming sooner than you think. of mine. Next topic. So I don't know how much I want to spend on this subject. I'm going to leave it here as a kind of a, I don't know, a rabbit hole for other people. And perhaps it's not that special. Perhaps there are other people like Vern Burton. So there was a school dance at a building named after a guy named Vern Burton. And I was asking people last week before the dance, the high school students, the teachers, do you know who Vern Burton is? And I finally got a response from the one person who was certain, the chief of all chiefs, the principal. But I actually found the answer before I got the response from the principal, that if you dig deep enough, you find out that Vern Burton is famous for badminton. Badminton in American history, you know, in the last whatever century, that he put Port Angeles on the map as a center for badminton. He arrived in Port Angeles in 1941. Now understand this. He arrived here probably either before or just after Pearl Harbor. That doesn't mean anything. That's not special. But what I thought was interesting, I sent an email to the Vern Burton Center where they have a picture of Vern Burton. And I asked them, when was the last time you had a badminton tournament at the Vern Burton Center? This is the response I got back. Daniel, I've searched our parks drive and have not found any records of badminton tournaments. I believe we used to host activities here for the sport, but we no longer have anything in that line of programming. Now here's another link. Washington State has exploded in popularity for badminton players in the past 10 years. Yeah, it hosted the 2024 World Junior Championships. This by itself isn't necessarily weird, but it's kind of weird. When you look into the history of badminton in this country, and when you look into the history of this guy, and you dig deep enough, there's just coincidences. One of the things I noticed, if you go to Google, and you put Vern Burton badminton in double quotes, okay? You know, again, uppercase the first letter Vern, uppercase the first letter Burton, uppercase badminton, put it all in double quotes for an explicit search. You know what you find? All you find. The only thing you find on Google. What did Eric Schmidt say? It gives you the only right answer is the Vern Burton Community Center. It's weird. This guy is famous in Port Angeles history, but when I just randomly, and again, this isn't very scientific, but when I asked a bunch of people that have lived here a while, I asked one woman who'd lived here since 1978, and she was an adult in 1978. And keep in mind, Port Angeles, Washington was not probably wasn't a bigger town in 1978. Probably people knew each other. She didn't know anything about this guy. Vern Burton died the same year as his daughter. In a town like that, that would make news. I can't find any details about what happened. Also, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. This is all coincidental. All of it. When you dig into badminton, you admit, and I should say online, if you go to these online resources, you find out a couple of things. Number one, a lot of them, they don't have anything about Vern Burton. But what's as interesting is if you dig into these badminton organizations, for example, worldbadminton.com, you find people connected to what looks like a lot of deep state DARPA stuff. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. And then I got this guy, this badminton expert, who's saying to me, you know, we don't have enough information on Vern Burton, but if you come across any extra information on Vern Burton, please let us know. None of this means anything. None of this is anything more than coincidence, but I would suggest to you that it's possible every single town has a Vern Burton, and it might just be random, strange human nonsense that goes nowhere. What I don't get is how a guy in a small town could have a building named after him, and so few people know very much about him, and when you do dig into him, all you end up with is badminton. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But then maybe if I was into badminton, I'd fucking understand. Here's a headline that I need to read, even though I promised I wouldn't. Trump warns he left instructions to destroy Iran if he is assassinated. Now, friends, remember, I called this. I called Trump a surfboard. I said that J.D. Trance and Tulsi Grabbard could ride that surfboard right into the Oval Office. And here's Trump saying he left instructions to destroy Iran if he is assassinated. Well, I mean, what we learned after 9/11... No, let's go back to at least 1993, move 85. You hearing me, folks? What we've learned from every stupid false flag in American history is that we don't do any fucking investigation. We drop bombs on buildings of the poor. We pollute them with disease and steal their land. We blame them for the ravages that are happening in the frontier. We move them along a trail of blood to someplace else. Of course we blow up Iran. If Papa Blump is killed, no need to investigate, no need to look into it, no need for fucking evidence. After 9/11, what did we do? We melted the fucking evidence. Yeah, he left instructions to destroy a country if he is assassinated. Brothers and sisters, whatever you think about this, this is literally not Christian. If you're a Christian and you think it's funny that he made a joke like this, you have a fucking spiritual problem. If you're a Christian and you think this is okay, you have a serious spiritual problem. If you don't ask questions about dropping 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile on anybody, twice what we dropped on Dresden. And like I've said many times before, plenty of folks consider that a war crime, Dresden. If you don't understand or have an issue, or if you don't even get a little curious about 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile, you've got a fucking problem, especially if you're a fucking Christian, okay? Here's another headline. This is where the big money fraud is happening. DOJ dives into Medicare bullshit. I knew 20 years ago from working around the industry that the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services that managed care and the entire economy of healthcare was also a giant fucking scam. And it was broken then, and Obamacare took a broken system and made it more fucking broken. So there's no great revelation here. If you want to know if there's lots of scamming happening in the healthcare system, well, some of it's just simple Medicare fraud or Medicaid fraud. But some of it's the fact that these major names are committing fraud. The pharma companies are committing fraud under the color of law. The implant companies are committing fraud under the color of law. The people that manufacture vaccines under the color of law, which means the protection of cops and lawyers and judges, are also killing people and committing fucking fraud. Tell me again how the worldwide economy for global fraud is only $1 trillion. It might have been $1 trillion in 1978. It's not a trillion today, folks, though. It's 99.9% of the whole fucking thing. It's all of it. It's not that you just remove the debt if you get rid of the fraud. You remove all of it. These fucking mega heads don't really get it. They're welfare freaks, too. They won't get it. There's just not enough time left. Anyways, I wrote a book 10 years ago called Retirement. I also talk about it in the book. I'm going to move on. Oh, this is mild. This is mild and considerate. This comes from thereflector.com, and this is a North Carolina, I believe, North Carolina online journal. It was written by the staff reporter, and the headline reads, "Soup Off Competition and Beer Fest This Weekend," published on February the 4th, 2025. Listen, you get to Elkin. The annual Big Elkin Burr Fest. Oh, it's not Beer Fest. It's Burr Fest. No, it says Beer Fest. Okay. It says Beer Fest in the headline, but then it says Burr Fest in the actual copy. The annual Big Elk and Burr Fest and Great American Soup Off competition will take place this Saturday, February the 8th, at the Liberty's Coley Hall, located at 222 East Main St. Elkin, East Main Street, Elkin, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Organized said that Burr Fest is a must-attend event, celebrating regional craft breweries, local culinary talent, and community spirit. Craft beers will be available from Angry Troll Brewing, Red Buffalo Brewing, Boondocks Brewing, Williamson Mead and Brewing, Odin Brewing, Lost World Brewing, and Lost Province Brewing. This duo event will also feature a soup competition benefiting a local charity. Ticket holders can savor a variety of unique soups in the Soup Off competition benefiting the Ark, a local women's shelter. Okay, that's good. The day will also feature live music from the Box Dogs and Michael Chaney and special fun with the Super Bowl Squares game. Tickets for the Soup Off only are $10, $5 for kids under 11. The Soup Off begins at 11 a.m. and ends at 1 p.m. Guests should arrive early to guarantee a taste. Tasters can sample all the entries and vote for their top three favorites. All proceeds will go to support the Ark. Online ticket sales close at midnight the night before the event. General admission tickets will be available for purchase at the gate. A $10 general admission ticket includes a souvenir cup, beer tasting, and mug. Online ticket sales close at midnight the night before the event. General admission tickets will be available for $15 at the gate. A $20 Burr Fest and Soup Off combo ticket includes a souvenir cup, beer tasting, and mug, soft pretzel, and soup sampling. Online ticket sales close at midnight the night before the event. Combo tickets will be available for $25 at the gate. Pre-order tickets will include a free Burr Fest t-shirt. Oh. Like I said, it's coming up this weekend, Saturday, February the 8th, at the Liberty's Coley Hall, located at 222 East Main Street, Elkin. I believe that's Elkin, North Carolina, baby. So, you know what I mean. You can get on the road. Get on the road. Head out from Greensboro, that's North Carolina, and go on to Elkin. Drive up to Elkin. Go west, young man. Headline, 10,000 eggs stolen as Pennsylvania police try to crack case. What the actual fuck? This is where we're at, though, brothers and sisters, that one can imagine 100,000 eggs at least in a single truckload. And one can imagine somebody stealing that truck. And today, that's $100,000 worth of eggs. Yeah. A year from now, that could be $1 million worth of eggs. But you see, you have to believe the year is 1925 to believe any of that. There's not enough slack in the system. If we get into a situation of hyperinflation, and believe me, Jerome Powell knows this, he knows this very well. If we get into a situation of hyperinflation, it isn't going to be years of hyperinflation. And most of you don't realize this yet, but the house you bought, the house that double, triple, quadruple this value in the space of 10 or 20 years, that's your Weimar wheelbarrow, buddy. That's the wheelbarrow full of money. If you live in a city where most of your food comes from thousands of miles away, where your water goes through a treatment plant, if you live in a city where your connection to survival is through third and fourth and fifth parties, you'll find out the value of your home. And you'll find out if it will buy any food at all. Your wheelbarrow is that hyperinflated home, and it already happened. In fact, one could argue that the hyperinflation happened. You just didn't fucking notice it because they told you, well, that's education, that's healthcare, that's your home. Oh, it's Bitcoin. Oh, it's, you know, those paintings. The guy that took the banana and stuck it to the wall, that's a $20 million art piece. The hyperinflation happened, folks. You mostly didn't notice it. But when you do start noticing it, it isn't going to be years. Probably won't be months. It'll be weeks. It'll be weeks before there's just nothing to buy. And when there's nothing to buy, the price is infinite, which means that, concept of hyperinflation no longer apply, really. Sorry. There's nothing to buy for any amount of money, or gold, or silver. No eggs, no meat. No fish from a dying ocean. And no insects, by the way. The German study says that in Germany national forests, non-aquatic insect life dropped by 80% in the space of 40 years. Yeah, I hate to break it to you, none of that's linear, and there's going to be no cricket powder. Sorry. There are going to be no bugs to eat. In fact, in some ways, the bugs for lunch thing is a limited hangout. When it actually hits, when we finally feel it, what other countries are feeling right now, you're going to be happy to eat a cockroach. You're going to be happy to eat bugs. You'll be happy to eat anything before you have to eat your fucking dog. And just because you've never seen it, just because you've never felt it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Rome starves last, folks, and for all intents and purposes, the United States of America is Rome, the whole place. And it starves last, but it starves pretty well, baby, and when it hits, wow. So a friend of mine sent me a link to a New York Times article about the moon. NASA gave up a ride to the moon, and now a startup is sending a rover with dead weight on board. You can try to find the article. Likely it's behind a paywall. If you ever, these days, pay to read the news, damn, what the fuck's going on in your head? I mean, really, you know, if you pay to read the news, there's something wrong. Try not to pay for it, because it's not worth it. The article is written by Kenneth Chang, and it was published on the 5th of February this year. And again, it's how NASA was going to send a probe. Again, not people. It's been a second. It's been more than a half a century since humans have walked on the moon, since they ever and the first time did it in the space of a couple years. They never did it before. They never did it after. There's a lot of weird Vern Burton stuff, by the way, that surrounds the moon trips. And if you want to believe the story you've been told that we did it pretty successfully given that nobody died. Oh, but Apollo 13, nobody died. And then we forgot how we did it. And now we keep talking about how we might do it again, while at the same time they tell you technology's a singularity and it's exponential. And everything. Except for when it comes to going back to the fucking moon, though, right? Except for that. I mean, we're all gonna have robot underwear, but we can't go back to the fucking moon. At some point, you have to reject the lie, folks. Or accept the implications. A government so fucked up that it forgets how it went to the moon probably could never do it in the first place. Sorry. And if you want to tell us it was big and complicated, I'll tell you something. We built a device during World War II that was really complicated. It involved an industrial plant that was gigantic. By the time it reached its peak, more than 250,000 people were working for something called the Manhattan Project. Just parts of Tennessee alone, Oak Ridge, with the centrifuges, just to get a little bit of that enriched uranium, right? That was a huge project. I think a lot of people, maybe even Oppenheimer at some point, wished that we forgot how we did it. But we never did. We never forgot how we did that. We never forgot how to make biological weapons. In fact, we've never forgotten how to make any of the weapons we've made. Going back to the simple poking weapon, the knife, we know how to make all the weapons. Kids are born with it in their heads. But somehow, and this is really special in the age of singularity technology and all the Elon Musk bullshit, somehow it's really fucking hard to get humans back to the moon or even to put 24/7 cameras on the moon. It's just really hard. But we can send probes there with dead weight. You should read the article. Next topic. Dan, I can't believe you're making fun of the moon trips. Yeah, I guess I am. But I think the thing about the eggs should be your focus. If, as a Sovietologist, if you're going to focus on anything, focus on the idea that there might be a little bit of truth here, trying to masquerade itself as humor. There's a little bit of truth in that egg story, folks. Imagine a calamity so bad that bodies are left to rot openly in the streets. Imagine a calamity so fucking bad that no one's left alive to bury your stinking body. And it's not Gaza. It's not Haiti. It's not some place where they're carving up hippos because there's nothing to eat. It's the United States of America. Imagine this story happened before in the United States of America. But you have to go back to the 19th century and you have to have the eyes to see. And imagine, because it's happened before and because it's happened in other places, it can and will happen again everywhere. Imagine a calamity so fucking bad that bodies are left to rot in the streets. Most Americans alive today, even a lot of people who are living on the edge of poverty, can't really imagine it. Because we got our smart devices. We have the internet, right? We can order DoorDash. And food comes magically from someplace. And in the simulation we call government, we don't really need to know where or how. And the little crocodile? He always comes to the door with gold. And he always says the same thing. He says, ignore the pillars of smoke in the distance. Here's your gold. There's a little bit of blood on it. You got to wash it off, Mr. and Mrs. America. But please, before you go to Walmart, ignore the pillars of smoke in the distance. And don't ask me where the gold came from. We're going to have Trump hotels in Gaza. It's going to be the new Riviera. Just offshore, they're going to pump out oil. They're going to pump out gas. It's going to be a new Riviera with the Trump Towers and the condos. And you can retire there and live on the bones. And so that none of us is a hypocrite, and we all remember that we will hang together, we're all living on bones, people. All of us. The good, the bad, the wise, the stupid, the ignorant, everybody's living on a pile of fucking bones. And one day, you're going to add your bones to that pile. But imagine a calamity so bad, there's no funeral, there's no wake, there's no bunch of people crying over you. Imagine a calamity so fucking bad that the people that would have done those things are dead already, or dying. And by the way, that wasn't 2020. And if it happens, it won't be televised. Because again, there won't be anybody to run the camera. Have a great fucking day.